Good morning. This morning I chose the topic Strength in Weakness. It is taken from the passage that our sister Hong has just read, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. For years I have remembered the story of a young girl who had been born blind. Her blindness caused her to be protected from her life to such an extent that she developed a childlike sentimental picture of the people around her. One day, she underwent surgery. Thankfully, her surgery was successful, and she can see with her eyes. But two things really impressed her. One was that nature was more beautiful than she had ever imagined. The light, the shades, the beautiful colors of the trees and shrubs, they were magnificent to her. The other aspects that she noticed was that the faces of people were sadder than she had ever expected or ever imagined. She perceived quickly what an old Scottish preacher frequently reminded his congregation: be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. So, dearly beloved, pain, suffering, heartache, and disappointment in our life are endemic in our life's journey. If one lives long enough, like myself, hardship and grief are inevitable in our life. The Apostle Paul, in the first century Palestine, wrote about his own dark and difficult journey in his second letter to the Corinthians. But learn one critical lesson through it all. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Listen to those last few words. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What could Paul mean by this strange paradox? Second Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 12, catalog the pain and suffering of Apostle Paul, of his experience as a minister of God. Because of this great suffering and the courage and endurance it took to work through for his faith, Paul had every reason to boast about his suffering. But Paul's boasting, he insisted, was on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose power, whose grace were the sustaining factors in Paul's risky venture of witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most powerful examples of the power and presence of the living Christ in Paul's darkest of times was his personal references, was his personal reference to his thorn in his flesh. Verse 7. Though we are unable to identify precisely what his thorn in his flesh, some commentaries say that it may be an eye disease. You see, Paul might have an eye disease. Others say perhaps epilepsy. Or he might have suffered migraine, or sometimes we call it severe headaches. Perhaps it could be also sexual temptation. Or something else. Nobody knows exactly when Paul says that he has a thorn in his flesh. However, we do know it was such a distraction for Paul that he begged God simply to remove it. Paul's prayer was not answered in the manner he had hoped for. You see, Paul was asking God to remove his thorn in his flesh. And you think that God would just simply remove that thorn in his flesh. But Paul's prayer was not answered in a manner he had hoped for. Nonetheless, God's answer was clear and unmistakable. God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here in one succinct sentence is captured the heart of the Christian faith. In the power and in the presence of the resurrected Christ, we are gifted with God's grace for the courage to keep on going, for peace and assurance that all will be well, for love, wonder, laughter yet to come, even though we may face against all odds. God's promise to us is, "My grace is sufficient for you." So, dear brothers and sisters, at times when we face challenges, perhaps we may even reach our limits, we must humble before the Lord, confess our weaknesses, confess our brokenness. God's gifts of trust, courage, and compassion can be released to all of us. That is the wonderful promise of God. Remember the words of the Lord, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Among the many gifts of God's power and grace, let us consider three aspects of it this morning. First, there comes to us the power to trust the Lord. Today, our society, the type of education we are being taught, that we must learn to take control of our own individual life. But dear brothers and sisters, sometimes we may face challenges that we are unable to deal with it. At times we are forced to our knees, as we feel so helpless to deal with the situation, with the challenges, with the crises that we face. Pastor David Burham of the United States testified that life was pretty routine and free of severe threat for his family until on New Year's Day in 1990, when he and his wife, spending New Year's Day at home, received a phone call from the Peace Corps in Washington, D.C. They had this telephone call to tell them that their son, a 25-year-old son, had met in a serious automobile accident. In fact, it was so near fatal car accident. Where the son volunteered in the Peace Corps to go to Southern Africa. After the call, they made hasty arrangements, rushed from America to fly to South Africa to where the son was in hospital in Bloemfontein to be near their son, who is critically ill in hospital. There they sat in their bedside vigil for their son. They tried to communicate, but to no avail. So they had to verbal themselves before the Lord. Even though they were by their bedside of their son, they spent their time singing to the Lord, praising Him. And more importantly, they keep praying for God's journey and for God's mercy and grace be upon for their sons, fighting for his life. When they can do nothing, in spite the son was in hospital, fighting for his life, this is when situations like that, when you feel so helpless, and now seeing their son, who before he went to South Africa, he was a strong, muscular young man. And there he lied on the hospital bed in Bloemfontein. They couldn't do anything. They only pray that God would heal their son through the doctors, through the nurses, through the care of the hospital. For 5.5 weeks, they sat bedside vigil for their son. They feel their weakness. They feel their pain, and they submit it to the Lord. So when we put our trust and hope that God would heal, and that is exactly the same what happened. God continued to heal their son, and after 5.5 weeks, they were able to take their son back to America for further recuperation. So that the reality of Apostle Paul's words rang true for both the pastor and his wife. Whenever I'm weak, then I am strong. God's grace was indeed sufficient for them. A power made perfect in their weakness. Secondly, in our weaknesses, God's promises the gift of courage. Who of us has not been witness to those brave souls who, in the face of tragedy, pain, loss, have found a will to move forward without becoming broken and embittered spirits? And who of us has not known the person who, through his or her pain and suffering, has reached out in service to comfort the grieving? To lift the despair and to challenge the suffering. Our prayer to God should be, give me courage, O Lord, even in my weakness. The famous nurse Helen Keller, who was born blind and deaf from birth, yet from her world of darkness and silence, she has great courage to serve those who needed help. Even though she was handicapped, she was able to help other people in the hospital as a nurse. She has shined a radiant light that has guided the pathways of millions of people to this day. Yes, sometimes we might be handicapped or restricted, yet we can still contribute something good for our society. Third, in weakness, God graces us with compassion. Dearly beloved, nothing makes us gentler, more tender, more kind and understanding of others than personal heartache and despair. Furthermore, few words are more descriptive of God's grace and the life and work of our Lord than the word compassion. The heart of our faith is compassion to other people less fortunate than us. Where pity is not, but pity is only just a passing by. In the last parable in the gospel Jesus ever gave to his disciples, the parable of the sheep and the goat and the goats. In Matthew chapter 25, the disciples asked Jesus, "When did we see you hungry, naked, sick, thirsty, in prison, and so forth?" And remember what our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me." In other words, Jesus wants to teach his disciples that they must have compassion for those less fortunate than them. Each evening, when we turn on the news on our television screen, we see images of hundreds and thousands of refugees trying, whether by walking on the road, through the fields, or trying to climb onto a train to take them somewhere. Their ambition is to be able to go to Germany or Austria, where the two countries welcome them with open arms. The latest, of course, is the closing of the border in Hungary, and over the weekend, Bosnia, and some of the neighboring country started to close their borders. And the European Union is crying out for other first countries like the US, Australia, and other countries to help with the refugees situation, because they can't do any more. They are mostly depleted of their resources. Yes, over a week ago, Australia is promising to take in 12,000 of those refugees to come and settle in Melbourne and in Sydney by the end of the year. And that was a compassionate thing. That the Abbott government, before he was banished from his prime ministership position. But I thank the Lord that the government is doing a compassionate thing to take in, or promise to take in 12,000 refugees, in allowing them, these desperate people, to settle in Australia by the end of the year. So, dearly beloved, the depth of learning that comes to us when we are in suffering and grief has always amazed me. We can discover what's important in this journey of life. How do we order our priorities in our life? The value of loved ones and friends are important. Now I'm retired. I haven't been playing golf for quite a few months. But now my hobby, and I'm so glad that God has blessed us as a family. When little Isabel comes and visits us at home or here in the church, it is a great joy for me as a grandparent to treasure the moments. I have another granddaughter, which I don't see her that often, but when I see her, it is a great joy for both Anne and I. Yes, we, at our age, we do value our loved ones. We do value our friends, our church brothers and sisters. The sustaining power and presence of God, when somehow God seemed to us at times most distant, and even silence. Personal empathy seems so much richer when we can identify with our fellow strugglers. Indeed, pain and suffering humanize us. So, dearly beloved, if we put our pain and suffering before the Lord, our God, not only will He sustain us, but the message this morning from Apostle Paul is clear. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Just like Apostle Paul, when he asked God to remove the thorn from his flesh, whenever I'm weak, when I'm strong. So best be assured, dear brothers and sisters, when in our weakness, God promises us the gift of courage. Again, in our weakness, God graces us with a heart of compassion. Last night, again on the television news bulletin, I saw one lady in Sydney, middle-aged lady. She has a beautiful home, a two-story home, beautiful garden adjoining to the parkland. It is a leafy, lush green area of Sydney. I don't know which part of Sydney. She is getting ready to welcome a family from the 12,000 refugees that the government is bringing in by the end of the year. She's getting ready her upstairs level for this family to stay here in Australia through the homestay organization. And I thought, what a wonderful lady home to welcome a family to stay in the upstairs of her home. She was quite happy to share her dog, a collie, a beautiful dog, for this family. Why did she do it? You see, she has that word compassion in her heart. She was willing to help people less fortunate. When you see all those people trying to go to Germany, to Austria, fighting, when some of the borders are being closed, you see, the world needs to have compassion for those who are being oppressed. I'm not so concerned for those others other than the refugees, but I also noticed some from Africa and, you know, the black Africans in their hordes of people. There must be a lot of others who are migrants trying to go and enter into Europe or to Germany and Austria or other countries to a better life. And I just sometimes wonder, you see, the Arab countries are so wealthy. How come they know none of them wanted to go to South Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and all those rich oil states? They are all Muslims. Why are they all rushing to enter, to go to Europe, where they have to learn a new language, new culture, new lifestyle? The climate is so cold for them. I think it boils down to one word. They deem the people in Europe have that word compassion. Perhaps they knew they won't be welcome in the Arab countries, but they will be more welcome in the European countries such as Austria, Sweden, and all those Scandinavian countries, Germany. Already taken 80,000 refugees in, and they still, hordes of them, still trying to go and enter into their country. May the Lord teach us to learn from Apostle Paul. God give us the strength in our weakness. It is through the grace of God, through the power of God, and more importantly, through our compassionate for those less fortunate than us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we live in a free country like Australia, where a day like this, it is so beautiful. It's a spring, beautiful spring day, where we can really appreciate what the Lord has blessed us. Help us, O Lord, to be kind, to be gentle to those who people who are being oppressed, that when they come to settle in this country, that we will help them, encourage them, and above all, to have compassion for them. Thank you, Lord. Teach us this wonderful lesson, strength in our weakness when we have nowhere to turn to. Your grace is more than sufficient for us. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.